Of all, Father, by your word.
By your word.
We need you to change us. It is in the precious and mighty, the awesome and marvelous name. Your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Standing with me for the reading of the word, able to stand either in body or in spirit. Coming from Matthew chapter 5, your text for this afternoon, a good friend of mine, Pastor Ricky Williams, my big brother, teaches young ministers, preachers, if they give you a theme, the least you can do is preach from it. And so we're going to preach from it. Thank you. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 14, reading from the New King James Version of this text, says that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in. I want to preach from the thought, glowing for his glory. Glowing for his glory. You are the light of the world. So we ought to be able to glow for his glory. In the fall of 2009, Disney came out with an animated musical comedy entitled The Prince and the Frog. It was out about the same time our daughters were about to turn 6 years old, I believe. And we had a Prince and the Frog themed birthday party for them. I dressed up like one of the characters, Prince Naveen. Went down to Congress. They had a costume shop down there off of Congress and got one of those, outfits with the tails and the frilly shirt collar stuff. Yeah. All right. So, I was doing that for the girls. And played the part of Prince Naveen. Because I'm trying to be a good father because they were my little princesses. And so we did that. But this is a story based on New Orleans around the 1920s. And the main character, Tiana.
All right.
Tiana had been working hard all of her life and Tiana wanted to own her own restaurant. And the possibility presented itself because there's a fellow by the name of Prince Naveen who shows up into town, causing a lot of ruckus because he's royalty. And so Tiana's best friend, girl had money. And so she says, Tiana, I need you to make me some of those famous beignets because I'm trying to hook this prince. And so with the money Tiana earned from baking the beignets, she was able to purchase this restaurant that she wanted to own. But somehow this prince comes to town and gets hooked up with this voodoo witch doctor, Dr. Facilier. And now isn't that something? Disney gives us, our own movie. It's got something to do with voodoo and witch doctors. But okay, that's all right. We got one. And so somehow Naveen gets himself turned into a frog. And you know most stories, fairy tales, that if the frog can get somebody to kiss him, then it'll put him back to where he was before he became a frog.
Yeah.
So somehow this talking frog in Prince Naveen convinces Tiana to kiss him to bring him back to who he is.
Yeah.
But now she ends up turning into a frog.
Wow.
Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. I might have to pause right there. Tiana's out there, be careful of who you're kissing on. I'm just saying. Yeah. You might end up with some froggish kind of stuff. All right, let's get back to where we were. So now she's a frog, he's a frog, and they're running for their lives. And they're trying to get away in the bayou down in New Orleans. And they come up on this human-like alligator by the name of Louis. And Louis says to them, if you're trying to get back to where you were, get back to being human, he says, you need to see Mama Odie. Mama Odie. But Louis didn't quite understand how to get to Mama Odie's place. So they're wandering around in the swamp, in the bayou, and they come up on Raymond.
Ramon.
Ray for short. And Ramon said, where you going, Sha? They say, we're trying to get to Mama Odie. He said, oh, Sha, you're going the wrong way. And they said, Louis, you got us going around in circles. And so Ramon is a firefly. We call them lightning bugs. And so Ramon said, I can get you to Mama Odie. So Ramon called on all of his relations. That's the other fireflies or lightning bugs. And before you know it, they have lit up the bayou. And it is a trail to get to Mama Odie's. And so they run off just singing, going down the bayou, they're making their way to Mama Odie's, but it's because Ramon is a firefly.
Yeah.
A lightning bug.
All right.
Fireflies and lightning bugs are a miracle of divine creation.
Yes.
Flying insects with the ability to light up. Science tells us that within the body of the bug,
there is a substance called luciferase that combines with another substance, luciferin. And when those two come together with oxygen, it creates a chemical reaction, and the bug from its belly begins to light up. No batteries, no electricity, just something on the inside of the bug that makes it light up. Come on, come on, come on. You are the light of the world. Something on the inside of you that ought to light up. Light up the house. So I'm just thinking, y'all are hitting it today. Yeah. Serving in the light of God.
Yeah.
Because you have that light. And so because you have that light, you have the ability now to glow for His
glory.
Glow for His glory.
Beautiful.
So here we are in Matthew chapter 5.
All right.
And Matthew is giving us, the instructions that Christ is sharing with His disciples. And this particular section of Matthew chapter 5 deals with the Beatitudes.
All right.
The Beatitudes.
Right.
And so he has gathered his disciples and the crowd. They've come alongside this hill, the mountainside, and he begins to teach them about Christian character and discipleship. That if we trust Him, put our faith in Him, then the kind of behavior that flows from the inside is going to be different and very distinctive from that which is happening around us. The world will not have the same kind of behavior. Matter of fact, they will not like the fact that you're shining the light. Because folk who love darkness can't stand light. Used to be a time when roaches ran when the lights come on, but now roaches don't even run. But darkness doesn't like light. And so he says to us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Or blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That is with this kind of character. You will have a blessed, or the way it's trying to say it here, maybe a happy or a fortunate life and existence if you follow these principles and concepts.
Yeah.
So he's talking to them about Christian character when he talks to us about beatitudes, beatus, Latin beatus is Latin. That's where we get our word beatitude from. It is how we ought to be. He said, this is how you ought to be.
Amen.
Not asking you to do anything extra. It's just who you are. It's what you ought to be. So these disciples have to understand you've got to be radically different than the world. And so you got to have a be kind of attitude. I think as an usher, a nurse, or greeter. Because darkness comes to church.
Yeah.
Clouds come to church. And you gotta have a beatitude because of how sometimes folk will treat you or maybe mistreat you. You're trying to greet them to the place of worship. You're trying to escort them in to the presence of worship. And sometimes it's not always appreciated. And so to keep you from quitting and throwing in the towel, remember, it's a be attitude. So he starts with be attitudes, but then he comes down to what we have here in your text, similitudes. How you're to be. Like, he's trying to compare. If what I've talked about in all of the blessedness has been too much, let me break it down. He said in verse 13, he starts there, he says, you are the salt of the earth.
Yeah, right.
In other words, you are like salt. Compare yourself to salt. He says, you are like the salt of the earth. And that word you, that's emphatic. So he's saying, you are the salt of the earth. And he says, like salt, you got to bring flavor. And you're there to help preserve, right? He said, that's, and if you're not bringing flavor, if you're not helping to preserve life, then he said, you're really not worth anything. And we just need to throw you, cast you, you're no good. But where you're landing on this afternoon is not salt, but you said light. You, emphatic, you are the light of the world. You, the light of the world. He's saying that is your job. That is your responsibility. You, you bring illumination. The metaphor light. He says you make the darkness disappear. Yeah, that's the job of those who stand the door, is to help make the darkness disappear. Amen. Disappear. Because we don't know where people are coming from.
That's right.
Where they, what they have been through.
Mercy.
And so to meet a greeter who's full of light could shine in some of their darkness. To come to the door and somebody standing who's full of light helps to dispel that darkness. So he says, you are that light. You are commissioned and called to bring that kind of light and to light up dark places. You all are the perfect people to be standing at the door of God. The perfect ones. To help chase away folks who are coming in the shadows of depression, shadows of anxiety and hopelessness and despair. You are the light of the world. So Pastor Renfro, how am I, if this light is on the inside of me, how am I to glow for God's glory? Well, let your light and your labor shine. That's all he points to here. He said, let your light and your labor. Let them see your light. You are the light. So he says in verse 16, let your light shine.
Yes.
Let your light shine.
That's right.
Light is not just who you are, but light is what you have.
Yeah.
It's a difference. Tony Evans says that you are the light, so we are to shine. In other words, he says that we're not in a position to be closet anything.
All right.
The job and the responsibility of light is to shine.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you thought this was a secluded, kind of in the background kind of ministry, Sister Achenballer done got one over on you. You just got played, because this is not one of those things where you have to shrink back. No, this is one of those things where you need to shine. Let your light, let it shine. Jesus says,
I'm the light
of the world. So if we are his followers, then it makes sense that you and I have to shine. We are light. Another version, I think somebody read it here, the New Revised Standard Version says, in the same way, let your light shine. In the same way, let your light shine. What do you mean? What same way? Well, he talked about that in verse 15. He said, you don't take a lamp when you go into a dark room. You don't light a lamp and then go put it under a bushel basket. No, when you light a lamp, you put it on a stand. So that it then lightens up the entire room. So God is saying, I need my servants to be willing to be put on a stand. So that then we might light up the darkness in the room. As greeters, you are the first person a guest member may see. And like a city set on a hill. When you see a city, you see what is a combination of lights in a city, not just one light, but you see several lights on, to where that city is viewable from miles away. So together with singular lights coming together and shining for him, now you become like a city set on a hill that somebody in darkness is looking for some light. And here you bring the brightness of your smile. And that just might lighten up their day. Your attitude is your light. The glow in your voice is your light. People in darkness. Some folk, especially now with what's happening from one weekend to the next. God. War. Death. Destruction. Those are clouds bringing darkness. And maybe somebody out there is wondering, what are we going to do? And they're running to places to find some light. Oh, but when they see a greeter from Ebenezer standing at the door, that brings some, a handshake and a hug can bring some light into somebody's life. Not a scripture read yet, but you are a scripture outside saying to them, you're welcome here. Come on in.
Come on.
You are light, because light has an effect on its environment.
Yeah.
When the people enter the house of worship ought to be lit.
Yeah, lit.
I walked in this afternoon. Y'all were lit. Ushers marching in. I'm like, man, all right. And the light. Thank you. Yeah. Light has an effect on its environment.
That's right.
So when people enter the house and come in contact with an usher,
come on,
something ought to change in that person's. I often tease with my nurses. Sometimes I have to check Sister Akibau to make sure we have one in the congregation. Because if I start having issues, I need to make sure somebody's here. So why don't we do that right now? Is the nurse... let's see my nurse. Where my nurse?
I'm behind you.
Oh, okay. You all right. You medically certified?
I'm medically.
All right then. All right. I'll fall out now then. Go ahead. All right. Yeah.
I got my phone.
Yeah, all right. That's it. Other nurses out of town. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. Need to be here, present, and shining. Because I'm like, if I got an issue, I got a problem, and I go out, I want to wake up, and that nurse is glowing so much, I think I'm on my way to heaven because she's glowing so bright. Let your light shine. Let it shine. We sang that opening song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You don't have to make it shine just because, remember, like the firefly, it's already in you. I'm going to let it shine. So if I'm glowing for his glory, that's because I'm letting my light shine. You ain't got to push me and prompt me. I know how much God has done for me. I know how good God has been to me. So when I show up, I just want to let my light shine.
Yeah.
Glowing for his glory.
Yeah.
Means I got to let my light shine.
Yeah.
Don't just let them see your light, but also let them see your labor.
Your labor.
That's what he says in the text. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your deeds, your labor. Let them see. St. Augustine said, it's only for the sake of God's glory that we should allow our good works to be known. Only for the sake of his glory do we allow for his works to be known. Not for us to get the pats on the back, but only for his glory should our good works be No, it is our good works that are in response to the Father's will.
Yeah.
See, disciples are to live and conduct themselves so that they're not only just hearing, but they're also doing.
Yeah.
Work, it requires energy. It requires effort. It says, I'm here and I'm ready to do. One of our preachers this morning preached from James. Don't just be a hearer, but also be a doer. It's in our doing. And I believe the ushers, nurses, and greeters here, this ministry, you don't serve just to get the shine. That you're not looking for the accolades. But that your labor recognizes the goodness of God. We have one of our ushers who was involved in a horrific accident a couple of years ago. We didn't even know if he would be standing. Well, living, much less standing. And even now today, he can stand the door.
Yeah.
He can. When you know what God has brought you from, and when you know what God has brought you through, you want everybody to know who Jesus is. You're not looking to get the glory for yourself, but God, let what my hands do and let what my feet do bring, let it bring you glory. The labor, the work, let it bring you glory. You do the work for his glory. And just in case we get it twisted, it's not what we can do for God, but it's what God can do through us. Through us. I have a saying at Corinth, we're not saved to sit, we're saved to serve. It's what God can do through us that we are allowing him, enabling him to get the glory. Bible says it is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work. It's for his work that he might then get the glory. And understand though, when it comes to work, good work has a time limit. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is, because night is coming. Nobody can work at nighttime. So good work has a time limit. So don't wait on somebody else to do it. If you are here and present, you go to work.
Go to work. Good work.
Because you might not get tomorrow.
No.
Good work can share and show the receipts of a faith-filled life.
Yeah.
And that's what James was saying. Show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith with my works.
Amen.
Good works are what we are created to do.
Yes.
We've been shaped for his service. That's what the writer of A Purpose-Driven Life says. We've been shaped for his purpose, for his service. And so we've got to do that work. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says we've been saved by grace, not of works, lest we should boast and try to get all the credit. But it's because of God. Verse 10 says we've been created by him. And the reason we exist in Christ is to do good works. We are his workmanship. We are his instruments. So that we engage in righteousness.
Yeah.
We engage in service.
Yeah.
We engage in acts of justice.
Yeah.
That's because he's called us to do it.
Yeah.
The aim. Since he's talking about discipleship and what that looks like. The aim of our discipleship is to promote him, to promote his kingdom. We are to let our labor glow for his
glory.
For his glory.
Yeah.
Let your light.
Let your labor
glow for his glory. He says, do those things so that they may see your works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And I believe, Sister Achenbauer, you are leading a ministry whose mindset is to do that service in order to glorify him. When you stand each Sunday, you glorify him. When you greet them with a smile, handshake or a hug, you are glorifying him.
Yeah.
When you escort them down those long aisles, you are glorifying him. Glorify him. Glorify him. Glorify comes from a word that helps us to understand. You've got to understand the weight of the value of the one of whom you are serving. Glorify him. To acknowledge him. To worship him. To praise him. To adore him. To bless him. Glorify. To lift him up. To lift him up. When you're standing at the door, that's your shout of praise unto God. When you're holding your position on the floor, that's your hallelujah to praise and glorify him. I see you sometimes throwing up your hand signals, communicating with each other. But I know you can't really get into it. But think of it this way. If I can't say a word, I can just wave my hands. Because a wave of my hands is to glorify him. I'm thankful to God that I've got a reason to glorify him. He sent his only begotten son that he would die on a cross for my sins and for your sins. And that's worth glorifying him. But I can't stop there because he didn't stay in a grave. Because 3 days later, the Bible says he rose with all power in his hands. And because of that kind of power, I've got to glorify him. I've got to bless him. I've got to adore him because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. Somebody ought to bless his name today. Somebody ought to give him thanks today. Because there's nobody like our God. Nobody like our God who can love us, care for us, be for us. Nobody like him.
Nobody.
So I gotta shine.
Yeah.
And you gotta shine.
Yeah.
And we gotta keep on working.
Yeah.
Until he says, come on.
Yeah.
And I believe when we get there, he's gonna look in the annals of history. And he's gonna see all of these ushers and nurses.
Yeah.
And all of these greeters. And when you stand before him, I believe you'll hear him say, servant, well done. I saw you glowing for my glory. Servant, well done. Come on in and take your rest. Sometimes standing can be a job. But he said, you won't have to stand. I want you to come on in. Sit down. And take your rest. All because I caught you glowing for my glory.
Amen. What a word. What a word. Glow for his glory. At this time, we want to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. We reserve this first row for someone who may want to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. As the deacons come, we invite you to come. Come as you are, come from where you are. Just come. was ours to extend, it was yours to accept.